смешки.
Morning. I'm ill prepared for today's program. I want you to know that your help is being solicited. 651-646-TALK, the number here. 651-646-8255 or toll free 877-615-1500. Speed, we're going to have to be less discerning on the screening today. I think any and all flotsam and jetsam should be allowed through. Not that there's a lot of that each day. But, you know, you've seen a pool filter, right? Glad to be with you folks. As I just mentioned, without going into detail, the morning was not good. There still are some items I'd like to get to, but if there ever was a day when you just felt like calling and asking a question or making a statement or just feeling what it's like to be on the air, this would be the day. I'm in a melancholy mood, at the risk of being rude. I have a strange attitude, but you can still call me dude. Call me dude at 651-646-TALK. Zoopadooba, zoopadooba, zoopadooriti, tootoopadoo. George Bush's approval ratings dropped to an all-time low. Never have they been this low. I thought he had bottomed out already, but nope. He's still dropping. How low can he go? This is for you, President Bush.
How low can you go? How low can you go? How low can you go?
Now, there still is a belief that a lone supporter of Bush is out there, not only approves of his presidency, but thinks this is one of the greatest presidents in history. They figure there's just the one guy now out there, and I'd like to talk to him. My sense is he's a KSTP listener. If there is a guy out there who believes this is one of the greatest presidencies we've seen in modern times, he's a KSTP listener, I know that, and I'd like to talk to you. Let's go to the phones, shall we? Hello, Marilyn. Is this Marilyn No Guy?
Oh. Yeah, we're still glad you're on. I'm glad you're back from vacation. My God, you give me something to look forward to while I clean houses.
You cleaning houses right now?
Yeah, you are so funny, though.
Are you using the homeowner's phone there?
No, I'm using my cell that my boyfriend bought me.
And what part of the house are you cleaning right now?
Way upstairs, the Venetian blinds.
Venetian blinds. Boy, I haven't heard that term in a long time.
I know, I hate them.
Uh-huh. Does the homeowner do the white glove thing with you?
I don't care. Hey, I've had this job for years and years.
Tell me if I'm psychic. Periodically, you step outside and have a smoke.
hotel, no.
No?
I step outside periodically and shake out rugs.
Oh, okay. Well, so you have it on a Walkman, or how are you listening to the program?
My headphones, yeah.
Yeah. I've never had one of those gizmos.
I'm so glad they're invented, man. I'd be stuck with my own thoughts otherwise. God help us.
What do you like best about cleaning houses?
The money. It's always all about the money. You know that.
But isn't it sometimes fun just to, say, when you're working on a toilet, getting her all cleaned up, isn't it sometimes satisfying afterwards to look down in there and say... It's
fun to tell people, hey, I thought about you today while my head was in the toilet.
How long have you been doing this for a living?
All my life.
What did you want to be when you were a little girl?
What did I what?
Want to be when you were a little girl.
Oh, probably a singer and a dancer, which I kind of am, you know. I like to dance on the dance floor at bars.
Really?
Yeah, I love to.
Are you good?
Well, I get compliments, but, you know, it's just a blast for me. I don't care about compliments. I just like, that's my release, my reason for getting out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
That and listening to you. So funny.
How long you been with your boyfriend?
Like 14 months, 3 days, and 7 hours.
You think you're going to get married?
I was going to think about talking to him about that today, about, hey, you know, do you see me in your future, or what's the deal? How come you won't get a bigger bed?
If you need any help, you can give me his number, and I'll give him a ring.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be fun? That could be fun. I will keep that in mind.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn.
Thank you, hon.
Steven.
How are you doing, Tommy?
Good, thank you.
I was always wondering, what's the name of your theme song?
That theme song at the start of the show is Stones in My Passway. It wasn't written by John Mellencamp, but that's John's group handling that tune. Stones in My Passway, it's from one of his albums.
Is there a story behind why you chose that?
It's not an interesting story. I heard about this new album coming out where Mellencamp was bringing sort of a roots feel, roots music feel to his music, and Johnny Height, my newsman, gave me a copy of it, and I took it home, and for me, it was really the first John Mellencamp music I ever appreciated. And whatever he had going with that group, I just felt they locked onto a sound that I would really never tire of. One of the tricks when finding a theme song is, what can you listen to every day for years? And the opening to Stones in My Passway was one I thought I could listen to for years without getting tired of it, and I'm not tired of it yet. I also was looking to change the theme because the old show, the nighttime show, had a theme that I thought was associated with the night. So I had to find something new, and that's how it happened. That album was so impressive to me that another song on that album was made the second hour theme song.
Okay.
So both of those, the noon and 1 o'clock theme songs, come from that same Mellencamp album. I can't remember the title of it. Do you recall, Speed?
I don't.
Johnny Height may. But it was a couple albums ago.
Okay. I like that theme song a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Dave?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, the Bush tax cuts saved me about $5,000 a year, and the illegal immigrants that I hire only cost me like $5 an hour each.
Uh-huh.
So he's really helped me.
He's helped you out.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He has.
More than any other president, really?
Well, besides Nixon, I mean,
ouch,
as far as the shady dealings that Nixon has done, I think that as far as my business goes, I think that Bush and Cheney have really helped me out a little
bit. So it's pretty much Bush and Nixon for you.
Well, it's more like greed. I mean, I hate to admit it, but, you know, it's all about money these days, you know.
I admire your honesty. Thank
well,
you.
I have to be, you know, because I'm a Christian.
You know, I marvel at and I know there's a lot of it out there. I marvel at the ability to say Christian and it's all about money in the same breath. We got a funny kind of Christianity in this country. It entertains me, but I don't know what it really has to do with Jesus. But I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello, may I help?
That's me?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to be jealous, aren't you, of my voice?
Jealous of your voice? A little bit, I guess. I'm also feeling a little jealous of your personality. I'm getting a sense that you're a real live wire and a fun guy at parties. Go ahead.
No, just a low voice. I have a question about a song I heard a long time ago, Bob Dylan song, where he held a note.
Yeah, Freight Train Blues. Freight Train Blues.
That's the first word he said?
Freight Train Blues, first album he put out. Yep, very first album. You'll find it there, and that's the song.
All right, that's all I needed. Thanks,
Tommy. And he didn't write it, but he held it. Jim.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
Yeah, the other day I called when you were trying to figure out the best contest to have for giving away the Twins tickets, and I said, tell a joke, and Steve said that was the worst he's ever heard.
Yeah.
So today, I'm just giving you another one. It's hot, you know, it's a nice warm day, and it reminds me of the State Fair, and I thought maybe somebody, we could guess your weight. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd appreciate that you're aware that this is a contest day, a Twins ticket giveaway day.
I wasn't even sure.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, so
okay. You're
dead on. We did have to come up with one. I actually had a different one planned, at least for this hour.
Well,
unusual. I don't think anyone else in the Twin Cities has ever had a contest like this. So I'm going down a different road.
It was a good idea, though, right?
No, it wasn't. But
I'm going to keep trying. I'm on vacation this week, so I'll probably call again.
Should I tell you the problem with jokes?
Yeah.
This is why I admire stand-up comedians so much. Really, really do. I think they have the toughest job in the world.
Oh, yeah.
When you say you're going to tell a joke, you've just taken the element of surprise out of it. Now you're letting people know that something funny is going to happen. And normally, in order for something funny to happen, you can't see the funny coming. Dick Van Dyke, years ago, had a show. Remember the Dick Van Dyke show?
Oh, I love it. With Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. And he gave a talk to his boys' class about comedy. And he started out by saying, comedy comes from the experience of the unexpected. And he used various examples. It was a wonderful little talk in the show, but as soon as you say, I'm going to tell a joke, the unexpected is removed. And now everybody is waiting for something funny to happen. Well, now you really have to come through in a big way. Whereas if you didn't say you were going to tell a joke, the bar would be lowered and something not as funny could garner a bigger laugh.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedians get up, people sit down, pay money and demand to be entertained, demand that something funny happens, and that comedian has to come through in that situation where humor is expected at every moment. It's a very, very difficult thing to do at that, but when you're sitting around with some guys in a bar, you watch at what you laugh at. It's usually something no one saw coming.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give up the joke. The weight one, I still think you should think about it if you run out of something to do.
How much do you weigh?
I just weighed in. I was 200 pounds even.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's something that goes on at ESPN Radio. I'm very curious about where this comes from.
Yeah.
Where you call up, and before you give your opinion on anything, you deliver your height and weight, and a bell is rung. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Okay. Is it Dan Patrick Speed? Is that the afternoon show? Dan Patrick?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's on his show. And I'd like to know where that started. These guys call up and they're going to give an opinion, but first they say their height and weight, and a bell is rung. And then the question or the comment commences afterwards. I don't know where that came from, but I'd be curious to know if anybody was there the day that started. How much do you weigh?
I'm 200, 6'1", which I think that's about 15 pounds overweight, but I don't look that bad.
You might want to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
There is a very, very popular video right now called Fat Rant. It was written about today at the Fox website. Fat Rant. And not only is Fat Rant there, but about 100 comments on Fat Rant, also in video form. There is a huge backlash against this. Over the last few years, many of the news stories have had to do with the morbid obesity rates in the United States. And a lot of people are rebelling now, asking that this stop and that people just be allowed to be fat and we stop worrying about health and just enjoy life. And This woman who does this fat rant, she's an attractive woman. She is quite overweight. Has really sparked something with YouTube watchers and listeners. And there's sort of this clarion call. There's the beginning of a battle cry, a rebellion against this, and starting at YouTube, and thousands of people across the country are viewing this fat rant, and she's becoming kind of a leader of fat people. She's an actress, I believe, out of Los Angeles. So you might want to check that out and feel better about yourself.
Well, no. I don't feel bad.
Well, you should. I mean, you're fat. You're chubby.
Tommy, I'm not that fat.
Yeah, you actually are.
6 foot one, 200 pounds, age 57. You know, I'm a little older than you. You know, then you get a little extra bulge around the edges, but
I don't care how big you are.
It ain't that bad.
Yeah. Until a crane's pulling you out of your bed, and you know, I'm okay with your weight.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Now, back to Mishki on AM 1500 KSTP.
Talking about your sweet dugan, don't you think I had some? Times will make me happy, people make me glad some. Living in the country, wake up every morning, hear the pipers crying. The water flashing, making love at night time. Hear the waves splashing up against the piling, yeah. Talking about your sweet time, talking about your sweet girl. Don't you think I had some more? Times have made me happy. San Francisco summer, playing music outside. See the people smiling, turned on by the sunshine. All our friends together, listening to the laughter. See the children running, playing, yeah. Talking about your sweet good.
Here with you on a beautiful 87 degree summer day here in the Twin Cities. 651-646-TALK is the number here. 651-646-8255 or toll free 877-615-1500. Men may spend infinitely more of their waking time thinking about sex than women do, but both genders, I repeat, both genders dream in equal measure once the lights are out. Men may spend infinitely more of their waking time thinking about sex than women, but both genders dream about sex in equal measure once the lights are out, according to a new study. This surprising finding comes from a Canadian study, an extensive one, and flies in the face of previous research that suggested sex has far fewer... I'm sorry, that suggested the female gender has far fewer erotic dreams. Ladies, the fellas are dreaming about anonymous women, right? When the men have their erotic dreams, they're dreaming about anonymous women. You, ladies, are you're dreaming about specific men, and not your spouse, not your boyfriend. No, you have somebody in mind as you drift off to sleep, and that person enters your dreams, and, well, I'm not going to tell you what happens. You know what happens. Frankly, I don't know what happens. I guess I'd like to know what happens. What the devil goes on there, I guess We fellas have assumed you weren't doing a lot of that, and so did the researchers here, and it turns out, well, during the day you're not thinking about it as often. In the night, well, you open the floodgates. Now, am I saying call up and tell me your erotic dreams? Yes? Yes? 651-646-TALK, the number here, toll free, 877-615-1500. And, by golly, the best dream wins a four-pack of tickets to see a Twins game.
AM 1500, KSTP.
Johnny?
Yes?
Men spend infinitely more of their waking time thinking about sex, but both genders dream about sex equally.
Okay.
And men dream about anonymous women.
Mm-hmm.
And in those situations, the women are making the moves.
Okay.
And with women, in their dreams, the women have to make the first move. And in their dreams, they know all the guys.
Ooh, really?
So, with that story in mind, I decided to have a contest to give away Twins tickets.
And that contest is?
Well, I want the women to call up with their erotic dreams.
I see.
Here's one now, Johnny. Why don't you listen with me?
Okay.
Edie.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I dream about Ralph Nader.
Golly.
I sort of know him because I, you know, saw him when he talked here and... And I have, you know, kind of a dream about being in a convention room with him. He's in a suit and tie, and he takes his shoes off by the bed, and they're you know, kind of smelly and sweaty and wonderful, and they're big and, you know, kind of good leather. And I just, I have this conversation with him that, you know, that leads up to whatever, you know, whatever then I, you know, that's the part I remember the most is that he allows me to talk to him. And I try to tell him how wonderful he was and how everybody could have voted for him and that they all should have and how different things would be now and for him not to, you know, feel too bad because he did what he could do.
Does he ever use a line with you in the sack that is, I don't know, along the lines of, honey, you're unsafe at any speed? Anything like that? Or
Well, we talk about taking a ride in my Prius.
Not the... What was the car, Johnny? Not the Corvair? Was it the Corvair?
Corvair, yep.
Corvair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't ride in that with Ralph. I guess it comes as a bit of a shock to me to hear that you're having erotic dreams about Ralph Nader. I would have been... I mean, it's... It's no less shocking than hearing you were having erotic dreams about Ralph Cramden. I just, I guess anybody named Ralph, I just didn't imagine folks like that appearing in women's dreams. And it sounds like the erotic part centers around conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conversation. Is this a recurring deal, too, with Ralph?
Hmm?
This is a recurring dream?
Yeah. Kind of seasonal.
Sure. Sure. Right. All right. Thanks, Edie.
Sure.
Yeah. Going to be tricky, this contest, I think, because I don't really know what the criteria is. But there's one contestant. John, what sorts of things do you have in there?
Sunny and 86 degrees. A victim's advocate in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office is under investigation, accused of selling personal information about witnesses and victims to the criminals connected with their cases. 33-year-old Keisha Green's job is to help those victims and witnesses through the legal process. Defense attorney David Reyes says if it's true, the consequences could be devastating. He used to work in that office.
You know, the victims out there count on these people as their spokesperson. And they give them information that only
a car is going to hit them.
They would only share with that,
that
one
be great
person.
During
oftentimes,
the quote,
even their family members
standing
don't
in a roadway?
Know the information that the victim advocate could
just
have.
Hear,
The tires squeal and then, oof,
Green,
middle of the quote.
Green was arrested Monday but released. If charged, Ramsey County will handle it all to avoid a conflict of interest. Minnesota State Senate President James Metzen has been fined $300 in order to do 20 hours of community service for his drunk driving arrest last month. Metzen, a DFLer from South St. Paul, was arrested just hours after the most recent legislative session ended. He admitted he had a few drinks at a bar near the Capitol after gaveling the session closed. A panel investigating the Virginia Tech massacre will get more insight into the mental health of the gunman. After weeks of negotiations, relatives of Sung-Wee Jo have handed over his mental health records to the state panel who was investigating the shootings. And the country singer who once crooned "Queen of My Double Wide Trailer" has his sights set on political office. 49-year-old Sammy Kershaw announced he's running for lieutenant governor in Louisiana on the Republican ticket. Kershaw has no previous political experience, but thinks that will be an asset.
I think it's just a fresh new thing, and I think people are going to like the idea that I'm not bringing experience as a politician, but I'm bringing experience as an entertainer.
Five Eyewitness News.
Oh, that experience. What's he running for?
He's running for lieutenant governor of Louisiana. Five Eyewitness News weather
forecast.
They ought
to have a double wide out back behind a governor's mansion for the lieutenant governor. Wouldn't that be great? There's the governor's mansion, and there's the lieutenant governor's mansion.
90 before we're done today. A few clouds, 69 overnight. Tonight, partly cloudy, chance of an afternoon thunderstorm tomorrow. 90 again, 85 Saturday, and 93 Sunday. So hot through the weekend. Right now it is 86 degrees at AM 1500.
Thank you, Johnny. Mm-hmm. And onward and upward then with our little contest. Women calling in with their erotic dream. A chance to win tickets to a Twins game. Good old wholesome all-American fun at the ballpark. Earned by, well, something less wholesome. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, my fantasy is Bobby Flay, the chef. He knocks on my door.
Who is this man?
I'm sorry?
Who is this fella?
Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay, I don't know Bobby Flay.
He's the redhead on the Food Channel.
Golly,
he's an Iron Chef.
Okay. So Bobby Flay, and what's occurring in your dream?
He knocks on my door, and he walks in and kisses my hand and tells me to just sit on my couch as he prepares hors d'oeuvres, hands me a glass of red wine. He cooks hors d'oeuvres, serves it to me on his knees, and then he prepares a sumptuous dinner. We eat, we drink, he cleans up, and he leaves.
This just is not moving in a direction I anticipated. Just chatting with Ralph Nader, having a chef cook for you.
Well, someone who cooks and cleans. A man that
Where's the erotic part? Let me go back to the story here. Men may spend infinitely more of their waking time thinking about sex than women, but both genders dream about sex in equal measure once the lights are out. Now, you're following the pattern here in recognizing the gentleman. Women in their dreams are with... I'm sorry, men in their dreams are with anonymous women. Women in their dreams are with men they know. But where's the erotic part?
The erotic part is where a man cooks for you.
Okay.
A man serves you your food and then cleans up.
Now, why didn't our mothers pass this along to us?
That's erotic for a woman.
But why didn't our mothers pass this along to us when we were hitting adolescence? Why didn't they... sit down with us and say, now, this is what really pleases a woman. It would have been awkward. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been awkward, but she could have said, I know what you're thinking, but what you're thinking is just what pleases you. What actually pleases a woman is a real good conversation and a meal.
A home-cooked meal, and someone who doesn't, you know, just... say, thanks for the food, I'm out of here, But they cook it. They, you know, kiss your hand.
Sure.
They treat you properly. They let you sit on the couch as they prepare the meal.
Can I ask you, do you wake in the morning with this profound sense of being utterly, completely satisfied?
No.
Oh. Okay. All right. Thank you. Lynn.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I don't have a recurring dream, but I have extremely graphic dreams about men that I know in my life.
Mm-hmm. How often?
Oh, once a week, maybe once every other week.
Wouldn't it be kind of neat to let these fellows know that they popped up in your dream?
It would be really dangerous.
Oh.
I'd rather just keep that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happily married. Sometimes they're about my husband. Often they're not. And it's stuff I'd really rather not share with anyone else.
Yeah. When it's not about your husband.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a feeling when you wake up that you got away with kind of a freebie deal. I mean,
yeah,
you didn't...
probably. Sometimes it's not pleasant, though.
Oh.
Sometimes I wake up and I say, ew, that would have been gross if that had been real.
Well, what do you mean? Was it gross during the dream?
Yeah, unappealing. And then other times it's fabulous.
Okay. Well, let's just take the fabulous. When you wake up in the morning, and I wonder if the feeling isn't, I didn't really cheat because I didn't plan that. It just happened in my dream, and yet, in essence, it's the same doggone thing.
Yeah,
I just had a little dalliance, and you're lying there in bed, and you're saying, not going to pass it along to him. I don't believe I need to apologize to anybody. That was fun. Same time next week kind of a deal.
Yeah, maybe, sure. But there's a twinge of guilt there.
There's a twinge of guilt. Is the guilt in not passing it along to him, or that the experience happened at all?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate your candor. Aaron?
Yes.
Hi.
Well, I guess I have dreams that are erotic, but they're in non-erotic places, and it makes them better.
Uh-huh. Let me guess. An automobile manufacturing plant?
Well, I do construction, so construction sites.
Construction sites.
Yeah.
By the way, at construction sites where you work, do you ever find yourself whistling at guys who walk by?
No, but I do like to sit and eat my lunch and watch the roofers without their shirts off, and it's a good day for it.
Yeah, roofers. Yeah, I was just reading in the news today that tradesmen are the new hot guy out there, not the white-collar crowd. And the metrosexual deal is really going, and apparently tradesmen are what women are going for. So at the construction site, what occurs exactly?
I guess the shoulders of my clothing are nailed to the wall with a nail gun.
Just the clothing?
The clothing, and then, of course, it can't come off, so you got to use a utility knife.
Utility knife. How long have you been working construction, Aaron? Maybe a little too long?
What's that?
I mean, how long have you been at it?
2.5 years.
2.5 years? What do you like about it?
I just like that I can walk into work and have any attitude I want, and
right.
I don't have to please anybody.
Right. How are the fellows to work with?
They're actually pretty respectable, and my boss always tells me that they're always looking when I'm not, so as soon as I turn around, the head goes the other way.
Mm-hmm. And you just accept that as part of being on the job site?
I just try to ignore it. If they don't vocalize it or make themselves obvious, all I can do is just go about my
work. Now, I mentioned in this study that women know the guys. Are these guys in your dream guys from the construction site?
Oh, the people that I work with in my company specifically. And then I'll see them the next day and get kind of embarrassed and probably avoid them.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Mary?
Yes?
Hi, go ahead, please.
Hi, I just had maybe some interesting insight. It's very strange. I'm sitting here in the zoo parking lot with my two kids about to go in the zoo to talk about this, but I agree. I don't share them with my husband. I do dream about people I know or famous people, and they aren't always pleasant. I've had dreams about Conan O'Brien Steve Carell and Taylor Hicks who knows why, but I got to tell you, I look at them a little differently now, and it's just it's really strange.
Is there a feeling that you've actually been with Conan O'Brien? When you see him now doing his talk show at night, do you say, oh, yeah, I've slept with that guy?
there's a little feeling like that.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say also is that, interesting, I'm also married and don't see a whole lot of challenge in getting my husband into bed, but I'm always pursuing them. It's almost like a seduction. And I don't know why I'm seducing Conan O'Brien or Steve Carell, but sometimes people I know are oftentimes people from a long time ago, like, you know, just any time in the past. But anyway, I'm usually just, you know, seducing them. Like, they are not really, like, they're married or something. I don't even know if it's married, but, you know, I'm trying to get them.
By the way, are the kids off looking at the elephants right now, or?
I'm sorry?
Are the kids, they're out of the car right now?
No, I'm in the car. My four-month-old's in my lap, and my two-and-a-half-year-old's asleep.
Oh, okay, just checking on that. The Conan O'Brien deal, any sense of why he appears? I mean, you must have some sense of why it's Conan.
I love funny men.
Okay.
I'll probably dream about you someday.
All right, and you can keep that to yourself or call up. The fact that you know everybody and that most women in their dreams know the people they're with, and the fact that men don't know who these women are, what do you think that says?
Well, I think that's almost too easy. I think men don't want to know. I think they just want the sex. Well, and I'm generalizing, of course, but I think that the men just want the sex without anything else getting in the way. Like knowing, like having to talk to the person or knowing the person or, you know, that's why men like prostitutes or men like Charlie Sheen like prostitutes.
So I wonder why that is, though. Why is that? Why wouldn't men want a conversation and someone to cook for them? I mean, why not?
Well, I think they get that in reality, probably.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Sure, right.
They probably get more than they want in reality, is the married men.
I'm tired of you cooking for me. That's my fifth good meal this week.
Speaking more of the conversation.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks so much for calling. Enjoy
Thank
the zoo.
You. Thank you, Tommy.
Bye-bye. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Tommy. Last week, I dreamt that I was making out in the bullpen with Johan Santana.
You could do a lot worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. In the bullpen where he doesn't really hang out all that much.
Well, it wasn't quite the Metrodome in my dream because there was a fence between the bullpen and the field.
Mm-hmm. After the dream, were you surprised it was Johan, or did you wake up and say, ah, that makes sense, Johan, yeah, I've been thinking about him a lot.
Well, he's not normally my style, but in the dream, my boyfriend's old boss, who I had a major crush on, was also there encouraging me to put out with Johan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, you gave Johan the Cy Young Award, Cy, S-I-G-H.
Tommy, I couldn't.
That's a very good one.
I couldn't get past the making out because I had to go pitch a game. Apparently, I was the one who was supposed to be warming up in the bullpen.
You know, I don't even really, for my dreams, I would be happy at night just to be a spectator in women's dreams. I don't want any dreams of my own. If I could just, in my dreams, grab a bench and watch women's dreams, I think I'd be plenty happy. No need for any personal dreams of my own. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yeah, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
For years, we watched 24, and I haven't been able to watch it this year because after every Monday night of watching it, I'd have a dream about Jack, Peter Sutherland. And he'd always, we'd always be in a hotel room, and it'd be in an intimate moment, and then his cell phone would go off, and he'd have to, you know, say goodbye and go off and save the world. And but every single night I would dream about it on that night. And, you know, we'd always be, he'd always be protecting me from some big, you know, political espionage or something. And so it'd be scary and romantic at the same time. But this year I decided not to watch him.
Do you think,
get some sleep.
Do you think it's possible that there's a woman out there who has had erotic dreams involving Fred Rogers?
Well, if you're a kindergarten teacher, maybe.
I wonder what that would be like.
I haven't gone there.
Yeah. Just a famous person, but just... And it turns out the guy's a master, a bedroom master. Wouldn't that be weird if we learned that about Fred?
Well, I'm sure he's got another side to him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they all do. They all do. I've been terrified of that other side in his case. But thank you,
maybe
Pat.
Maybe if you're a Thomas Train enthusiast, maybe then you'd have erotic dreams.
Yeah,
about
I'm afraid the whole train analogy would get a little carried away there in the dream. Thanks so much.
Maybe.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hello?
Hi. How do you pronounce your name?
Lulu Bell.
Lulu Bell.
I'm not giving my right name because it's too embarrassing.
What you're going to say is?
I can say it over the air.
Oh, okay.
A couple of times, and I don't know where this is coming from, I've had dreams about having romantic liaisons with Willie Clark.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And I don't know what that's about. I think I need help.
Yeah, we're beyond think. Boy.
I think it's just because I relate to a lot of the things that he says. I probably agree with him a lot.
How old are you?
I'm 54.
Okay. Do you mind if I pass this along to Willie?
Sure, you can pass it on.
Lulu Bell. All right, 54-year-old Lulu Bell. I'll let him know. You'll make his day. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
AM 1500, KSTP.
Golly, I got so carried away with a topic there, I forgot we actually were having a contest, weren't we? I guess the deal was to give away a four-pack to see a Twins game, or a six-pack to stay at home and listen on the radio. We're giving away something. I don't even recall what all it was, but we'll continue with this after the top of the hour. This is the old broadcast, Mishki here with you on a glorious summer day. KSTP, good old St. Paul. Big time, Minneapolis. Stick around.
Mostly sunny, 87 degrees in Minneapolis and St. Paul, 4 a.m., 1500.
Johnny? Yeah. Johnny? When was the last time while sleeping that you slipped into the dreamy world of anonymous sexual encounters?
I don't remember, Tommy.
Already?
I mean, it's been a while, I'm sure. Okay. 87 degrees. The Blaine man, whose 10-year-old daughter was scalded to death in a bathtub, gets sentenced today at this hour, about 1:30. Prosecutors want 30 years for 26-year-old Jason Gonchareski in the death of his daughter, Jordan. His girlfriend, Julie Meyer, also pled guilty. The two blamed each other in court. Gonchareski's attorney, Luke Stauflug, claims she was the real guilty one.
Julie Meyer ran the household. Julie Meyer made the decisions. Julie Meyer set forth the discipline, particularly as it related to Jordan.
There were three other kids in that household. They are living with another family member. State Health Department says there seems to be a wood tick explosion in and around the Twin Cities this year.
Today I collected off of myself, I probably found 15, 20 deer ticks and over 100 regular wood ticks.
That's... Where the hell does he live?
I think as he was working, actually. It's Dave Neitzel of the Health Department. He says it's the deer ticks that concern them because they spread Lyme disease and all kinds of other nasty things.
One is called human anaplasmosis, and we had almost 200 cases of that last year. It was 177 or 78 cases. And we also have a third disease called babesiosis.
Experts recommend using repellent and wearing long pants and long-sleeved shirts when you are out in wooded areas.
And I'd like to pass along a tip that was sent to me by a listener.
Uh-huh.
The safest way to remove a tick, take a cotton ball and get it all soapy. Then put the soapy cotton ball on the tick. The tick will back out of the skin on its own and will stick to the cotton ball. And you need only pick up the cotton ball, and there will be the tick right on it.
And that works? Have you tried it?
It does. Well, I haven't, but it was a tip sent to me last week. And, of course, the worry a lot of times with pulling ticks off is that you'll leave part of it in the skin and get an infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Try it next time. Air pollution warning is in effect today for an area covering the Twin Cities and extending up to St. Cloud and Brainerd. State Pollution Control Agency says ozone levels in the air are high again today. People with health problems, senior citizens, children, and physically active adults are warned to avoid lengthy or vigorous exercise. 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast, 69 overnight tonight, then tomorrow partly cloudy, chance of an afternoon thunderstorm and hot again. High tomorrow around 90. Right now sunshine, 87 degrees at AM 1500 KSTP.
Broadcasting from the border country of Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's Mishki.
Sitting right on the border. Right along that bleak barren tarmac known as University Avenue. The Riviera of the Midway. Hi, Stacy.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I had to call in because I think I must have the weirdest dreams of all.
Oh, super.
Because mine are actually about my husband.
Yeah, it's not typical.
No, not from listening, no.
Yeah, it's the study also indicates that it's usually past lovers or famous people, but rarely is it the spouse or any significant other. It's, and yours are almost without exception dreams involving your husband?
Yeah, not that I can recall of anyone else.
Uh-huh. And, is what's occurring in the dream typical of what occurs in real life with the two of you?
Yeah.
I wonder why why the hell you bother having the dreams then.
I don't know.
So, you may have a fairly intimate evening, romantic evening with your husband, and then also have the same thing occur in a dream.
Yeah.
And then the next night, maybe it'll happen again. And then in the dream, I wonder if there's some sort of issue there centering around almost an obsession on your part with this man. Are you obsessed with him?
Maybe a little.
How long have you been married?
Almost 2 years in September.
Okay, so not even 2 years.
No.
And how long were you with him before you got married?
Probably another 2 years.
My sense is you pursued him.
I think it was pretty mutual, mostly him, though. Mm-hmm.
Wonder what his dreams are like.
I don't know.
Have you ever asked him?
Not really. He says he doesn't usually remember them.
They all say that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's the easiest out. Yeah. And does he ask you about yours?
Not really.
I would think he'd be interested, seeing that he's in every one of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell him if I have one about him.
Yeah. Does he ever come up short, so to speak, in a dream?
No.
No. Does anything really unusual happen during the dream at all? I mean, really almost otherworldly, something that couldn't possibly occur in real life?
Not that I can remember of, anyway. It's hard to remember anything weird happening.
And there's never a time, say, where, yes, it's your husband, yes, everything that's happening could happen in real life, and then a platypus appears or something.
Not yet, but maybe now.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Stacy. That is weird.
Yeah.
That is very unusual. Thank you. And, golly, what about that contest? Weren't we supposed to be giving tickets away? What game was that we had the tickets for? I hope Santana was pitching. He's pitching tonight, isn't he?
Yes. It's against the Blue Jays Monday, June 25th.
Blue Jays. Monday, June 25th. All right, 4 tickets. Well, I feel we should just take them and, on behalf of the women, and maybe run them down to the Dorothy Day Center or something. The contest is over. I forgot to pick a winner, and can't we just take them and maybe this person will win? Hello.
Quest. This is Cindy. May I help you?
Hi, Cindy. Would you like 4 tickets to see the Minnesota Twins play the Blue Jays?
No, thank you.
I think it's time for a new contest, Speed. I think on behalf of the women, I'll take those tickets down and we'll get some folks hanging out there at the Dorothy Day Center who want to go to a ball game, and I'll drive them there, and I'll say this is on behalf of women in the Twin Cities and their erotic dreams, and I'll just leave it at that. But we're gonna have a new contest, Speed. Study reveals real fathers fail to measure up to televised versions. Fathers in the USA are a lot less supportive and a lot less accepting than sitcom dads, even falling short of the low bar set by Homer Simpson, according to a new study of college students. Many young people blame constant work demands for draining their father's energy and taking away their father's time. I don't get to see him when he comes home. He's always tired, was a typical complaint. Boy, it's really sad when a dad can't even measure up to Homer Simpson. Father's Day is this Sunday, and what tends to happen around this time of year is we hear heartwarming stories about dads and the joys that'll be present on Father's Day. Real life is messy. According to this study, sitcom dads are far better fathers than fathers in real life, and the story out there with dads isn't a pleasant one. So I guess the contest for the next 4-pack of tickets to see the Twins Monday would be just how bad are things with Dad. In honor of Father's Day, coming up this June 17th, this Sunday, your calls on just how bad things are with the old man, and how rugged is it, and how much pain will there be this Sunday? 651-646-TALK, the number here, 651-646-8255, or toll-free 877-615-1500. And I'm not going to forget about the tickets this time. Speed, help me remember by posting it on the computer screen and reminding me from time to time, it is a contest, Tom. These aren't random calls. Okay, let's make some magic. Go ahead, please.
It's bad with my dad.
Pardon?
It's real bad with my dad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he, when he retired now, and we never really got to see him when he was working. Now he's retired, we don't see him at all. Right now, I think he's in Canada.
But, does he know about Carter's whole amnesty deal?
Huh?
Why is he up there?
Oh, I think, I'm pretty certain he's fishing. I mean, that's what he does. No.
Do you ever go fishing with him?
No, there's not room, so he says.
Is he fishing alone?
Either that or he's got a buddy that he goes with. But, you know, I try to bring him with my boat, and I'll say, hey, I got the boat, here's the stuff, let's go. I can't. Desperate Housewives is on. He won't go on Sundays when Desperate Housewives is on. He won't go when 60 Minutes is on. I mean, he's got all these stipulations. It's not just me. I mean, my sister's the same. I mean, she'll ask him, you know, go out for lunch or something, and he want to go. He'll have somewhere he got to golf.
Are you a father?
No.
I wonder what kind of father you'll be.
Probably depressed. Depressed father.
Okay. Well, we'll give you 4 tickets just for that alone. Speed, the ones that were going to go to the Dorothy Day Center, they're going to him. And hello, Guy.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, my dad, actually, Sunday, he's going to be in the hospital. He hasn't pooped for over a week.
Hello.
Hi, is this the radio station?
It is, yes.
Can you tell me what that piano music was that was played right before the 1 o'clock news on Mishki show?
Oh, yeah, that was Harry Mancini playing a little number called That's No Lady, That's My Wife.
You're kidding.
I never joke about music.
That was Harry Mancini playing the piano?
Well, I don't know if it was. Let me look here. Oh. No, you got a pen?
Yes.
All right. The name of the group is Sapphire.
Okay.
Uppity Blues Women.
Uppity Blues Women. Great. That's great.
Now, hold on. That's the name of the group. The name of the piece where you hear that piano music?
Yeah.
The name of that piece is Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Sure, bye-bye.
It's really good.
Thank you. You know why teens have a tough time finding summer work? Because older people are taking all the jobs teens used to have in the summer. Retirees, people who are taking on second jobs, they're stealing all the work teens used to be able to get. So when your teen comes home and says, Mom, I was out looking all day, I can't find any work, before you decide that he's trying to pull a wool over your eyes and was really at Bridgman's having a phosphate, read this article. This summer is shaping up as a tough one for many of America's youngest job seekers. The nation's job market is strong, yet teen employment rates have not rebounded from the recession of 2001. Instead, these numbers are at a historic low. The reasons? More competition from older workers for a shrinking pool of entry-level jobs. These kids are going out. They want to work. It's summertime. They need some money to take Stacy on a date Friday night. And they're not able to find work because there are the older people stealing their jobs. You parents don't believe your kids when they come home and say they can't find work. Believe them. When next time you hear, I went to get a lawn mowing gig, Mom, but Mr. Peters, Danny's daddy, already nabbed it. Danny's father is mowing lawns for a living? I have a hard time believing that. Well, you can go look for yourself. He was a beekeeper, but then the bees all disappeared. You heard that story, right? He worked at the Ford plant. They shut that down. So he's mowing Mrs. Thompson and Mrs. Pullman's lawn, which I used to do. Plus, he's nabbed my paper route, and he's using my bicycle. I'm left to run the corner Kool-Aid stand. I thought I gave that up when I was 7. No, no, son, sir, your daddy has taken over the Kool-Aid stand. His job's been outsourced. Dad's running my Kool-Aid stand? Yes, with Danny's father. They're hoping to save enough to buy a Mr. Freeze at the Five and Dime. Well, what about my college tuition? Yeah. You've heard of the School of Hard Knocks? It's not accredited, but you can transfer there without penalty. You're going to have to put on hold some of your aspirations. I had it easy when I was growing up. I put an ad in the paper, a little community newspaper, that just said, odd jobs, and my phone number. Now, people would call up with really odd jobs. Some were illegal. But it was easy just to say no and wait for those jobs that I could do. Every now and then it would be a borderline situation. Boy, can I do that job? I don't know. I'd say yes, and interesting things would happen. Sometimes it'd all go to hell. Sometimes I'd really learn something. But it was a great way to work. I just put in an ad that said odd jobs, and some of the strangest calls came in. Some beautiful. But there are all these things people need out there that don't fit into any set category. They can't just look in the classified section under services and see, oh, yeah, someone does this service. No, what they need is something odd. A weird little bit of help with an odd little project. And so they see odd jobs, and they would call me up. And I'd say 40% of the time I said, well, my answer would be I'm too busy, I'm booked. The truth was what they were asking I either wasn't willing to do or didn't feel capable of doing, or clearly saw that what they were asking was not only illegal, but when I got in their house, even weirder things were going to happen. I remember one woman called me up. I grew up in a typical St. Paul middle-class neighborhood, and a woman called me up who lived about 3 blocks away. And she said, I have a bad back. Could you take out my kitchen garbage? I said, yes, and then I'd always throw out a price. And I based my prices on where they lived. If they lived on Summit Avenue, prices went up. If they lived in my neighborhood, they were middle of the road. And if they were in the rougher neighborhoods, I dropped them considerably. So I ran down the street, knocked on the door. The woman opened the door. She said, come on in, excuse the mess. Well, I have heard excuse the mess all my life. When you go to someone's house and they're not expecting you, mess usually means there's a newspaper on the floor. In this particular case, 3 years of garbage was piled up in all the rooms of the house. There's a 2.5 foot wide hallway you could walk through between the garbage bags. But the garbage bags, full hefty bags, went floor to ceiling. The house was filled with flies, and I was in for 15 seconds when I felt I had to throw up, and I stepped back outside and said, excuse me a moment, and I ran to the boulevard and began to take in a lot of fresh air, as much fresh air as I could. And then I came back, and I felt embarrassed, and I didn't want to let her know how horrified I was, so then I said to her, this is the garbage you need taken out? She said, yes, it's been hard because I have a bad back. It took me 2 days of working to get that house cleared out. What I would do is I would hold my breath, and I would go in and grab as many garbage bags as I could, and then I'd run out and bring them out to the alley, and then I'd come in and do it again. And then after a while, I would feel myself actually getting sick, some sort of illness, something that was beyond just I'm going to throw up. I actually felt I was being overcome by something, and I'd take a break for a while, tell her I had to do something. I'd come back later, refreshed and ready to take another stab at him. I got it all out of there. But there are a lot of different calls like that that came in. One guy called up and he said, I want you to close 5 windows in my house. The windows are stuck. I don't know how. I don't know if they're warped. I opened them at one point and they're stuck. And I could really work hard to close the windows, but my fingers are very important to me. I play for the Minnesota Orchestra, and if I hurt my fingers, I hurt my livelihood. So I went over there, and it took me 20 minutes to get the windows closed, and he paid me $150. I didn't even give him a price. He was a very wealthy man who played for the Minnesota Orchestra. So I got interesting calls like that. Now, I don't know why that can't be done today. You find your little community newspaper. Don't use the Pioneer Press or Star Tribune. Find a little community newspaper. And throw in there odd jobs and your phone number. When I gave up that job, when I finally quit and moved on to other things as I got older, I had a buddy who couldn't wait. He had heard all my stories. Couldn't wait to take that over. And he said, can I throw my number in that ad? I said, yeah. He took it for another 5 years. And he was much more of a handyman than I was. He ended up taking all sorts of jobs I couldn't take, and he just had a very lucrative run with that. So I throw that out there for those of you contemplating what to do to make a little money this summer.
Mishki, AM 1500, KSTP.
She don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money. She gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my baby, I'm her honey. I'm never gonna let her go.
Sundays. Caught him once and he was sniffing my undies. He ain't too sharp, but he gets things done. Drinks his beer like it's oxygen. He's my baby and I'm his honey. Never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spat our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. Thinks all my jokes are corny. Convict movies make her horny. She likes ketchup on her scrambled eggs. Swears like a sailor when she shaves her legs. She takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I'm never gonna let her go.
Got more balls than a big brass monkey. Swacked out weirdo and a love bug junkie. Fly as a fox, crazy as a loon. Payday comes and he's a-howling at the moon. He's my baby, I don't mean maybe. Never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up a-sitting on a rainbow.
Mishki here with you, AM 1500 KSTP. Johnny Height standing by with rock solid, rock bottom in the hour news.
Thank you, Tommy. Mostly sunny, 88 degrees. You know, every time you play that song, I'm going to be singing it all day now.
That and Beer Run.
Exactly. A fire at a Northfield apartment complex earlier this morning. Could have been a lot worse than it was. Leonard Horshey, who lives at the Kester Court complex, says the heating pad on his bed suddenly sparked and burst into flames. He uses an oxygen tank that was right there, and it could have exploded. Fortunately, his wife, Irene, was right there, too.
The blanket was burning already as flames
that high.
That
Mrs. Horshey?
And yes. I just grabbed the blanket and ran outside with it. And I thought I had it all.
I wonder if they toyed with that name at Ellis Island a bit. To make it a little safer.
It's, It's got an odd spelling. I'm not sure of the what nationality, where it would have come from. It's H-O-R-E-S-J-I.
Horshey.
Yeah. Would that be a...
Sure.
Okay. Fire was only in that one apartment, but smoke quickly filled the whole 25-unit building. Firefighters helped many residents out windows and down ladders. Manager Scott Finston says luckily everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
Alarm sounded. Everything that we believed needed to work worked.
Five people were treated for smoke inhalation and released from the hospital. Displaced residents are being put up at a nearby motel. Unless an appeals court steps in or President Bush grants a pardon, Louis Libby could be behind bars within weeks. A judge today said he won't delay the 2.5-year prison sentence Libby received in the CIA leak case. Governor Paletti will speak at a ceremony in Excelsior tonight at which an unprecedented 7 Twin Cities boys will be awarded the rank of Eagle Scout. Only 5% of boys who go into scouting ever achieve that level. The 7 are David Chapin, Brian Elder, Anthony Fernaris, Cordell Johnston, William O'Connor, Scott Sheely, and Matthew Thompson.
I see. Send them off to Baghdad.
There will be more Make That New Foods at the Minnesota State Fair this year. Axel's Restaurants will try Sloppy Joe's on a stick. O'Gara's is doing corned beef and cabbage on a stick. They'll call them Dublin Dogs. And in fact, this year there'll be 54 foods on a stick, including deep-fried fruit. Another new one this year, the Ufta brat, a Norwegian sausage wrapped in lefse. 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast. Partly cloudy, isolated thunderstorm possible late tonight, down to 69. Hot and humid again tomorrow. Isolated thunderstorms, high of 90. 83 with scattered storms on Saturday. Right now, sunshine, 88 degrees at AM 1500.
Thank you, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Miski. How you doing?
Real good, thanks.
Got a little odd job here idea for you.
Okay.
I used to do it back in high school. You get yourself a couple cans of spray paint, some number stencils, and you go around the neighborhood knocking on doors, offering people to paint their door numbers on their curb for them.
That's a great idea.
Charge $5-$10, depending on the neighborhood you're in, and you got yourself some beer money for the weekend right there.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. See, I think, I still believe that six guys getting together in an afternoon and knocking around money-making ideas could come up with something that not only would make money, but that no one else has thought of. You got to move away, I think, from the want ads and just sit around with about four or five friends, brainstorm, and come up with things that... Because obviously, that's how so many people over the years made it. They just came up with something no one else was doing, and it took off. And it's difficult to do that on your own, but with a few people...
The major thing I've found is don't find something people need, find something they think they need.
Something they think they need. Create the need.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Bob.
Yep. Thanks, Mishki.
Dobro man.
Hey, Tommy. How are you doing?
Real good. How's the family?
The family's doing great. I called to let you know, and I want to try to drop off, but the kid's got a new CD coming out. I got to pick it up tomorrow, and I want to drop it off so that you can listen to it and give me your opinion.
Now, is this the two of them?
Well, no, it's the three kids. I got the daughter and then the two boys and then their bass players out of Cross Lake.
The daughter, and what are the daughter, is the daughter the lead singer?
Daughter's the lead singer, yeah.
And then what are the two sons play?
One plays the fiddle, one plays the mandolin.
I wonder if I could get the three of them, just the three of them, to perform during my show at the fair this August.
What's the date you got, Adam? They got a gig in August, but we'll make it happen.
Well, just look at the dates of the state fair. Find a weekday that works, and the three of them could play the music coming back from all the commercials, and that would be a way to promote their CD.
And then I want to get it to you. You know, they're playing the Cottage Grove Strawberry Festival this Sunday from 12 to 3, but I want to get you that CD as soon as they get it. I want you to...
Yeah. I am playing at a Basement Cottage Cheese Jamboree myself this weekend. I'd like to see them. Can you drop the CD off?
I'm supposed to pick it up from Precision Powerhouse tomorrow, and hopefully I can get it to you before your show starts.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it to get done.
All right, and let me know what date works for them to play during the fair.
I will be in contact,
all right.
Tommy.
Thank you, Dobro.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
651-646-TALK, the number here, 651-646-8255, or toll-free 877-615-1500. I'll be right back.
Now, back to Mishki on AM 1500, KSTP.
Love it, so it is. that's it. It's like I'm up against the ropes, I'm being beat to death. My bare invisible fist, they keep my head arena. Like I'm going down for the count, like I'm falling underneath the wheel. I could have been somebody. I could have been a real contender. But I'm sitting down here and I'm in Johnny Farr. Just another drunk on the waterfront who's trying to remember. Cause I'm not the man I used to be.
Little Johnny's Bar. Used to be on University Avenue. Now defunct. That's where that song was written. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mitski, how you doing?
Real good, thanks.
Hey, seven young men work real hard, get their Eagle Scout Award. Probably pretty high-quality young men.
Mm-hmm.
And your comment is ship them off to Baghdad? Could you... either explain that or apologize?
Well, won't apologize, but we could use some Eagle Scouts over there, I think.
Well, again, I just don't understand the comment. I mean,
well,
maybe,
I just think they're
congratulations or
no, I just think that they've worked.
Comment was sarcastic and
no, I just think they've I think they've worked hard and have developed some skills and probably are some of our best and. We could use them over there.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't argue that point necessarily. I just didn't take
that's what
the
I meant.
Comment that way. Am I wrong to have taken your comment the way I did?
No, you're not. I would never say you're wrong. I just explained the meaning behind it. I just think that you sound like guys who have developed some skills, probably not wildly dissimilar to. Some skills we find in various soldier training, and I just think we could use them over there. We got a tough job. It's difficult. We're not doing real well over there. Things have been going badly for quite some time. Maybe some Eagle Scouts could help.
Maybe they could.
That's what I was thinking.
I just interpreted your comment completely different.
Oh, okay.
And I, in all honesty, I think it was meant differently. I think you backpedaled very graciously, and maybe you should consider a career in politics.
Well, same thing. Talk radio.
Bye.
Woman Michelle Ether has been flooded with requests from people desperate for transplants after offering a kidney to a man in the U.S. Michelle Ether has been flooded with requests from people desperate for transplants after offering a kidney to a man in the U.S. This is out of what country here? Michelle leaves for the U.S. next month to donate her left kidney to the man she has never met. She said the transplant operation was booked for July 19th at the University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville. The transplant was arranged after she posted her profile on the U.S. website Matching Donors. I'm still getting bombarded with requests. There have been probably more than 2,000 inquiries, and some people email me twice a day. They're so desperate. I receive calls from the same person week after week. I have already decided where my kidney's going, but they won't stop calling. Oh, what country is she in here? Whatever country she is in, it's not the U.S. She decided to simply post her profile on a U.S. website, a matching donor's website. A match was found, and she's giving an organ to someone she doesn't know, to a complete stranger. These people know that I've already found the person I'm donating the kidney to, but they won't stop calling. Wait, why would you call more than once? I don't understand that. Why would you continue to harass her after she says, no, I've already picked the guy I'm giving the kidney to? She just keeps getting phone calls all day long. Same people. No way I can get that kidney, huh? Is that no absolute, or is that, sorry to keep bothering you, but any way at all I can get that from you? Are you positive this is the guy you want to give it to? I know. I heard what you said earlier. Just double checking. Is it a money thing, or are you just partial to Americans, or what? Come again?
Yeah. Hey, you can tell me this is the 34th time I've called. I'm not going to argue because I'm not keeping track of how often I'm calling, but I think that's missing the point. What's it going to take to get your kidney, I guess, is what I'm asking. Can we talk turkey here? What's the bottom line? What do I have to do to get your kidney? I have a Bose acoustic wave machine. Did I mention that? Are you aware of what those things go for? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you that music box, that Bose acoustic wave, and if you give me your organ and my body does not reject it, I'll also stop by your house once a week for the rest of my life, free of charge, and offer you what people tell me are spot-on impersonations of Borscht Belt comics from the 50s. Hello? Hello? Well, I'm making another call. I don't think she realizes what kind of deal she's passing up here. Call her again here. Guess this would be call 35. She's keeping track, apparently. Hi, lady. It's me again. Yeah. One last call just to see where your thoughts are with this whole kidney business. Who's the clown in the States who's getting this thing anyway? Is he a friend of a friend or something? I can be a friend. You know, I was a friend to a fella back in high school. I think he'd tell you friend-wise I did pretty well handling friend duties, whatever those were. I wasn't able to help him at the end there in the automobile accident. But that's only because I was driving and I was half in the bag. But he can still walk. He'll tell you I was an okay guy. The paralysis has not affected his speech. He'll tell you I did what I could. Hello?
Mishki, AM 1500, KSTP.
Tommy.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to stick up for you a little bit. Not that you need help defending yourself, but I'm a little miffed at that guy who called in and took offense at your comment about the suggestion that maybe the Eagle Scouts would be help us out over in Iraq. Well, his taking offense at that comment, I take offense at his taking offense. His position suggests that the military service should only be reserved for the misfits and the boobs of society. Here we've got 7 young men who are stellar by almost all accounts. Why shouldn't they go over and use some of those talents to help us out over there?
I'm not entirely sure how the guy took it. I still don't know when he said, am I taking it the wrong way? I don't know if he thought that I didn't like Eagle Scouts or what, but
I still don't know how he took it.
Well, I know what you meant.
What do you think he thought I meant?
I think he thought you said, well, you were kind of flippant in your comment, and you were poo-pooing the idea of them being Eagle Scouts and their accomplishments in some way by suggesting that, you know, they go over to Iraq.
No, what I was, the shot I was taking at was at the mess in Iraq.
Yeah,
that was the shot I was taking, and the idea that we could use some Eagle Scouts over there.
Well, why shouldn't we send our best and brightest over there? Mm.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Hey, did you see, Speed, how where that fella I had on yesterday on the war was, his editorial was featured in the Star Tribune today?
Oh, no, I did not catch that.
Yeah. Yeah, I interviewed this gentleman, Fettweis, from the, was it the Naval War Academy or college?
Naval War College.
Naval War College.
In Rhode Island.
He had written an editorial on the end of the Iraqi war and where things went from here. And then today there his editorial was in the Star Tribune. I was going to do this today, and I didn't get to it. A study just out indicates that there is at least one psychopath, and that's the term they're using, one psychopath at every major company. I don't know how they determine this. Workplace psychopaths are common in major businesses and are ruining the lives of colleagues, according to new research. In every major company, there is at least one psychopath, says researcher Dr. Richard Clark. Let me see if I can find this. Anyway, what I was going to do with this, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but we have a psychopath here. We are a large business here, Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated. You have a psychopath where you work. Unless you're running a little ma-and-pa operation, chances are there is a psychopath there. And I thought what we could have is some psychopath stories. Now, actually, I was just going to say, I don't know the one here, but when I think back over my 15 years here, I actually do know of one no longer working here. Anyway, I was wondering why they're allowed to work there and why they continue to work there. It says here that they ruin the lives of their colleagues. Well, how do they stay employed? A psychopath per company. And how are they defining psychopath? Psychopaths isolate their victims through cutting them out of the lines of communication and then destroying them. The workplace psychopath is more dangerous than the violent criminal psychopath, says one researcher. I wish we had time. Maybe tomorrow. Thanks for listening. KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis. Sushiray's next.